Well, brethren, let me start today with a story about a family. And they were traveling down the road. They had been on vacation, and they were getting ready to stop, shortly down the road. And as they went along the way, all of a sudden, the dad noticed there was those flashing lights in the rearview mirror. You know, the policeman was pulling them over. And you know the feeling, if you've ever been through that, what that feels like, uh-oh, what did I do now, and et cetera, or what am I going to tell them? Well, so the policeman pulled them over, and there were a couple kids in the back seat, and the parents were talking, and it was a lesson to them of like, well, what do we say? What do we do? How do we handle this? So when the policeman came up to the window, the dad said, after the policeman said, "Do you know what you did wrong?" He said, "I think I was speeding. I wasn't really paying attention, but I believe that was it." And so the policeman took their information, went back to his patrol car, and came back a little bit later and said, "You know what, I'm just going to give you a warning. Yes, you were speeding, but you gave me an honest answer, and you showed me respect by doing that." And he said, "So many individuals that I stop, they come up with a story." And he said, "You wouldn't believe the stories that I hear, people trying to get out of this or that." So he said, "I'm very thankful that you showed me that respect." And today I want to talk about that topic. The word respect means to consider worthy of high regard. You think about more than anyone else in this entire earth or throughout the universe, God is worthy of that. It also means to esteem for the worth of a person's quality or their ability. And we think about how little of that is today. Similar words of respect or high opinion. So you sometimes might say, I have a really high opinion of that individual for what they stand for, what they do. Another word might be admiration. And you admire them because of the respect you have for them and the way they handle themselves. And yet, as we look around in the world today, we see how much respect is lacking. In almost every area of life, it's getting less and less in the way that we were raised, the way we were taught. Let me offer a few examples of disrespect that we might notice today. Think about some of the children's behavior in school today. I've talked to school teachers, and they said it's hard to even get their attention, even make them follow the rules. Or children in the home, some today aren't even corrected at all, and they just run all over the parents in certain ways and show disrespect. Another area is people's view of law enforcement. We've seen that a lot lately, haven't we? With just how little respect for someone that's out there to care for you and to keep the peace, etc. And we're not saying that anyone's perfect, but there is an amount of respect that should be given there. Another area would be that the way people dress. Some people go to a certain occasion and the way they put on their clothes and what they wear shows so much disrespect. And they can do that in a variety of ways. We can show disrespect in the way we take care of our home. If it needs painting and the lawns, needed mowing 3 weeks ago, it's a sign of disrespect. The way we take care of our property, even sometimes the way we speak. I've heard people say, "Oh, my old man did this and my old lady did that," and not even showing the respect, for a wife or a parent or whoever they're referring to, that a lot of things we just get used to, and that isn't really the best way to do it, according to God's word. And so many people don't seem to understand the importance of respecting people's words or their actions. And respect is a frame of mind that affects how we live our lives and the way we speak. And so God is asking us to really stop and think about that. So my title today is Respect, a Matter of Choice. Because we do have the opportunity whether to be respectful or not. And just because the society around us isn't showing respect, as we have been taught or as the Bible illustrates, we still need to really do better in that. Because this world is focused on self. And we need to consider the level of respect that we have and how to improve that characteristic so that we are pleasing to God, so that we are preparing to become the children of God. And so it affects every day of our lives. So my goal today is to explain some principles of respect, not to tell you necessarily you can't do that or you shouldn't say that. That's all entwined in there, but more so to look at a few areas that the Bible mentions and to consider how we can improve. So my first point today is respect for God and His laws. And I think everyone pretty much would agree with this, even in our nation, if they're law-abiding. And we do need to understand what God expects of us because without that, we do not grow in the way that he's asking us to. Let's turn to begin with today to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. Genesis 4 and verse 3. We'll look at a few verses there because our obedience to God's laws reveal our level of respect. And so many today disregard what God has said. They may not read his instruction book. And we know that God instructed Adam and Eve, and he told them various things like, here's what you should, you know, name the trees or what trees you can eat of, and you're to name the animals, and here's regarding marriage. And they most likely passed that on to their children. But let's read now a little bit about Cain and Abel, their children, and what God said regarding that. Genesis 4, let's begin in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Eternal. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So we have to think about the situation a little bit and consider that the way God viewed this. And there was something they were doing that one of them was doing right and the other wasn't. And notice what it says, verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. You know, a lot of times we can get upset, but it's really something we need to change. And instead of always being angry that things didn't work out the right way, we really ought to consider our attitude and the amount of respect we have. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So when we consider these statements, and to consider that God literally respected, you know, Abel and not Cain. And so there's an example there that we can learn from. If we skip down to verse 9, it says, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, we've heard that statement before, but when you think about that, yes, we know the answer to that. We are to show love to everyone. We technically are to set a good example and to be able to take care of to the level we can with everyone, not just your physical family. Verse 10, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So God knew when he asked him, what have you done? Just like we as parents, when our children do something and we kind of see the steps they took to get there, but we ask them, what did you do? We want to see their response. We want to see if they're going to be honest about it and face up to it. And so God was doing the same thing here. And just like our kids, it's important for them to admit early on that they didn't do the right thing. They didn't think or act the right way. God is asking the same thing. And he gives Cain the opportunity to consider that. Verse 11, he says, so now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Now, this is quite the statement coming from God to an individual. But to think about, he did things in a certain way. And here's a literary technique that's used sometimes in the Bible, you know, referring to your brother's blood, you know, being received by the ground, etc. And so we most likely can determine from this that Cain just didn't, you know, knock his brother over the head to kill him, but most likely stabbed him or something to have that spilling of blood that the ground would receive. Verse 12, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. So we have to ask, did Cain learn anything from this? Not really, because he was saying, with this attitude, am I my brother's keeper? You know, do I really have to be concerned with him? And God is asking us, as we'll get into today, to have a respect for one another and so many other items that we'll discuss in the ensuing points. But it's important for us to think about that. In verse 13, Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So there's his focus. Instead of, God, what is your point? What can I improve in and grow in? And I made a mistake. I need to repent of that. No, it's like, oh, you've punished me too hard. I can't handle this. Verse 14, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. So once again, a wrong perspective in the sense that God was trying to work with him, as he does with all of us, to learn lessons. And so we shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. Just as when somebody comes before a judge, that judge is looking for a remorseful attitude, not someone that makes a lot of excuses. The policeman's looking for the person that gives an honest answer. Even if they messed up, they want to hear that. And that's out of respect. That all ties into that. Let's go to Psalm 40 in the next verse. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6. You know, King David is writing here, and he makes some statements that ties back in with what we read in Genesis. And we have to ask, were, you know, the animal sacrifices the main focus of what God was trying to teach the individuals in the early days? Well, let's notice what it says here in Psalm 40, verse 6. David says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me." Verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." That is God's desire for us. And the sacrifices, yes, were to teach something, but if we don't keep them in the right way, the attitude of Cain was wrong in that he offered, you know, from the ground instead of from the flock, which we know later we read about some sin offerings and grain offerings that were given. So it's not necessarily wrong, depending on, but it's more likely his attitude was going about in a wrong way there. And he was showing disrespect to God in what he was doing, which is why God did not respect him. So when we think about respect in general, it is a key component of all the Ten Commandments. The very laws that God gave to mankind, that word, that having a high regard of God or of mankind, it's important in all of them. And you think about the first four commandments, how they address respect for God. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods. And that's out of respect for the one true God. He's saying, don't go raising up other things and elevating them above me. The second commandment, don't make carved images or bow down or serve them. God is asking us to once again to look to him and him alone, because he is the one who is the creator and the life giver, the one who offers us salvation, not some carved image. So once again, it all boils back down to respect. And even in the third commandment, when it says, don't take the name of God in vain. And there's so many different ways that people do that, but most of us are even knowledgeable. If you go in the dictionary and look up euphemisms and how people literally take words that we would consider vulgar or not right or swearing, and they'll change them a little bit and try to make it so that they're less offensive. And so they'll change it so it sounds like that. And so, you know, words like instead of saying God and taking his name in vain, they might say gosh. And there's a list of those. You can go to the dictionary and look them up. And we need to be familiar with those, because if we just utter them quickly without thinking about it, we can literally take God's name in vain. And so quick expressions of speech can show disrespect to God. So we have to be familiar with all these areas so that we are improving and growing in preparation for what God has promised us. We must consider that God is worthy of the highest and most special regard, just as that word respect is defined. That's what God is asking us to think about. And to put God below anything or anyone or before them, you know, is a blatant disrespect towards him. He's asking us to really look at him in that admiration and that high opinion that we have of other things in life, but he says, you should have that for me as well. And even if we look at the fourth commandment, just in general, just touching on this, you know, God tells us to keep that fourth commandment, to keep that day, this day, holy. And the principle of the Sabbath is to honor God by making this day a special day, by refraining from our normal activities, from our daily routine, and concentrating instead on conversations and activities that show respect to God and items that help us to draw closer to him. He's asking us to build that relationship with him and to understand how he and Jesus Christ think and to grow in that way, to ask for their help, which is also just being respectful that God can offer us the help to make those changes. I'll refer to Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Here's what it says. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the eternal honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. So there's a list of some things that God really wants us to think about, and he's really asking us to refrain from trampling on his Sabbath day. You know, he said, out of respect for me, this is what this day is about, and I'm asking you to look at it differently than the other 6 days. They're all special, but this day, he said, is holy, and only God can make it holy. So if we look at those three categories, refraining from our normal activities, God's saying, don't do your normal ways. You know, if you pay your bills throughout the week and you focus on this and talk about what car you want to buy, and we could just get into tons of categories, but he's saying, refrain from that for this one day to take extra time to focus on his ways and his plan. The second, you know, thing mentioned in Isaiah 58 there is refraining from our selfish or personal pursuits. In other words, doing our own thing. And there's a lot to think about. I mean, out of habit, we do a lot of things that sometimes we have to stop and check ourselves, saying, should I be doing that on this day? Even after 30, 40 years, those things are so ingrained, we did it the other 6 days, we might have to stop and say, wait a minute, I don't want to show disrespect to God. And so the third item mentioned there was about speaking your own words, which we have to be careful there, because God is asking us to let go of the routine of our day-to-day topics. You know, what was okay yesterday and the day before? He's saying, let go of some of that. And we're not talking sinful words he's asking us to let go of. We already know those are wrong. But he's saying, all those ideas and those things you delve into during the week, let go of some of that so you have extra time to show me respect and come before me and talk about my plan and my words and you know, the salvation he's offering us. And so he's doing that for our own good. And so we've all shown disrespect on this holy day. I mean, it's most likely we'll do it today if we're not careful. So, you know, one of the things I thought about is we all would be pretty upset if somebody came into our house, they had muddy shoes on, and they just walked right in and walked right across the carpet, and they were leaving mud and dirt everywhere. That would be very disrespectful of the owner of that house. And in a way, God is saying his laws, his ways, he goes, this is, you know, even our bodies, he goes, this is my house, I own everything, and you show great disrespect when we trample, you know, whether it's a Sabbath day or other things, that we have to be very careful in how we walk each day. And so it takes effort to honor God on his holy days. We have to think about everything we say, everything we do. It's out of respect for him. Let me give you an example of someone that I noticed years ago. You know, we know how special the Passover is, a festival designed by God where we come before him, the most solemn occasion of the year, to wash someone's feet, to take of the bread and wine, and all the deep symbolism there. But I remember years ago, a lady that came to the Passover, she was wearing skin-tight jeans. She had on a bright red shirt. She had a logo on it that wasn't appropriate even for everyday wear. She had on a baseball cap. And she was wearing all this, and you kind of get the picture. You had to be there to really visualize it, but it was so disrespectful. A baptized member that had kept it for years and came with that way. And I don't even know that she recognized that because you couldn't hardly keep from looking. It was so blaring in your eyes and so disrespectful. So we've all done things that sometimes we don't see, but others might. And definitely God always sees. So we have to examine ourselves in those ways. And so the Sabbath is not just a day of rest. It's a day to show honor. It's a day to show respect to God, as well as so many other items. Now, the last six commandments involve respect for our fellow human beings. So every one of the laws, if we look at them properly, God is saying, show some respect for these people that I've created, for this earth that I've designed and made. That's what he's doing. So let's look at some of these other points to kind of break it down a little bit more. Point number two, then, is respect within the family. Consider, for those of you that are married, of how we need to have respect for our mates. Those of you that have had children, you know, having respect for our children or wanting them to have respect for us. And we think about the fifth commandment deals directly with respect of children towards their parents. And we know that this should come first in respect towards others. That's why that commandment is the first of those last six, because it starts with that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6 and look at that point a little bit. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read a few verses here starting in verse 4. But we know that God has set the bar for all of us. He sets it pretty high. And he's asking us to come out of the world, to live as his son Jesus Christ showed us in the example. And we have to ask, how deep is our love for God? Because how we keep these commandments determine that. Notice what it says here, verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now this, my focus is on this next section of verses. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so it continues with that theme, but look at the importance of raising children in a way and talking about God's laws. And really what you're doing from their early years is teaching them about respecting God, his laws, and fellow man. And this is where much of our societies today have gotten off course, because that respect isn't taught and so much breaks down from there. So teaching the children is foundational as we even observe the commandments, as we teach them about every area of life. That's important. Here's a quote from J. Edgar Hoover. He stated, a child who has been taught to respect the laws of God will have little difficulty respecting the laws of man. And you see individuals out there that don't have any regard for man's laws. So most likely they were never taught and raised in a way as it recommends here in Deuteronomy that we should follow. Now, if we just talk about those commandments, the sixth commandment involves respect for human life. You know, thou shalt not kill. God is asking us, once again, to plug in this important quality of respect into every commandment and everything we do. The seventh commandment requires respect for our mate in marriage. And think about the parental example there. That how would you teach respect to your children if the two parents are always squabbling and fighting, you know, and there's problems there. So it comes down to that example says so much. The ninth commandment requires having a special regard for the truth. You know, thou shalt not lie. And so God is asking us to focus on these things. And then the eighth and tenth commandments deal with respect for what belongs to someone else. You know, don't lust after your neighbor's items and don't steal. I mean, everything comes back to this idea of respect, having a high regard. Why? Because God, who owns everything, who made everything, is asking us to show him respect for all the things he made, to really have a right attitude and outlook towards that. Turn with me next back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. I remember a parent who was struggling with their child, trying to get them to come here, and they kept saying, you know, get over here in various ways, and very stern voice. The child didn't even listen. And then the parent thought, well, I'll go to the next step. And they started going, you better get over here. And they started counting down, 5, 4, 3. And we've heard parents most likely do that. Well, the child still ran away. So the parent went and grabbed a small child, grabbed him, picked him up, put him in the chair. I was watching all this. And said, you sit there. And within 1 second, I mean... the child just popped up and ran away, and the parent just stood there and looked and went on. And I just thought, I could not imagine my parent allowing me to do that. Many of you would think the same. Because we were raised to, even if we didn't want to do something, we still had that level of respect, like, I better obey. I'm going to get in trouble. I respect, you know, I fear my parents in a right way. And that's what God is asking us to do. Well, let's pick it up here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Because it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what God is asking us to do. We don't do those things to our children because of we just want to be mean. No, we're asking them, we're following what God is telling us to do, to train, to show respect, to have that honor. Because verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so what a beautiful promise that is from God, who can follow through on all of his promises, and it all has to do with honor or respect for those over you, above you, around you. It permeates all those areas. Verse 3, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So, brethren, think about that. God shows that respect begins in the family. And in a sense, this is written to the children. It says, children, obey your parents. Now, not a lot of children are reading this, which is why you teach them as they rise up and as they walk by the way, etc. You're putting these ideas into their minds to build that idea in their heads so that as they grow up and become adults, you know, as citizens of a nation, there's more respect for everyone. So there's a special promise that's added here of long life, and what a blessing that is to have that promise from God. Let's look at verse 4. It says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So the important point here is that respect is a two-way street. It's not just about like demanding that your kids respect you. As a parent, you want to have enough respect for them that they feel that you feel close to them. You love them. You'll take care of them. You have that respect to even correct them in a proper way. And we can't expect our children to respect us if we don't even respect them. And so it's a multiple process here. And this is also emphasizing the importance of parental instruction in forming the values of children, that we need to put and instill those ideas into their heads so they have that respect. Now, many families teach disrespect just by their actions. I'll just throw out a couple of thoughts there. One way we can do that is if parents constantly judge and belittle each other. So as the children are looking up to them and they see that happening, we're not really showing that respect is a proper thing in life to do. Even though we might preach it with our words, if our actions are more so criticizing one another, we're demeaning what we're teaching through our words. A second way we can do it then is to interrupt conversations. You know, everybody has thoughts in their mind and they pour it out in their speech. And if you think about it, haven't you ever been in a group of people and somebody's talking and you're listening, all of a sudden somebody else starts talking? And I've had it in conversations where after a while, everyone in the group's talking, I thought, who is listening? Because we need to have respect for that first person talking and take turns. Otherwise, you kind of miss the points of the majority of the thoughts that are coming out. And so, you know, family members, if we don't teach that as parents to our children, then a lot of that happens more in society. And when somebody's trying to get a point across, you know, it's like telling the person, I don't really care about what you're thinking. My words are more important. I'm going to talk right over you. So we have to consider that in every conversation. And so we don't want to judge or belittle. We don't want to interrupt conversations. A third way is somebody that's always on their cell phone. Well, you might walk up to them and you're talking with them, but all of a sudden it buzzes or rings and they look at it and all of a sudden they look up and the person that was there talking to them is gone because they got so involved they looked at it for 5 minutes and the person said, you're not showing me respect. We were here having a conversation. All of a sudden that took over. So we have to be careful in many different areas. Let's go to, well, just a chapter back here in Ephesians. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So it's so important to have this basis for all humans, to be willing to be under the authority, especially of God and of others. And if we don't, it causes problems. Skipping down to verse 28, it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So the statement sounds well and good, but think about how hard it is. As husbands, there's times when we are just thinking about ourselves and we don't show that love, that respect. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And so there's a parallel here between marriage and the marriage of the Lamb that is coming, that we're in training, in a sense, to be the future bride of Christ. And God is showing us the importance then, coming back down to having respect within the family. It's important between a husband and wife and the training of the children to build that respect within the family. And so marriage teaches us a lot about respect, because that covenant is patterned after what Jesus Christ and the church will do in the future. And children learn respect for God and others by being taught to respect their parents. So we have to think about these principles and how important they are. Look at verse 33 here. It says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So there's all these things happening behind the scenes that we have to be very careful with and to consider how we can do better in. But it all kind of comes back to the example of the parents need to train up the children so that when they grow up, just like we've grown up, that we learn to have that, not that we can't improve it throughout our lives. Let's look at another area, a third area, respect for the elderly. You know, God points out these aspects throughout the scriptures, and there's very little honor shown to those who are up in their years in this day and age. You know, sometimes I've seen young kids, they don't even stop if they're all walking into a restaurant or into a store. They don't always hold the door open for an elderly person. It's like, oh, they can get it themselves. Or it's more so you see where if somebody's rushing towards a checkout line in the grocery store and you see somebody in a walker or wheelchair, you might speed up walking to get in front of them, you know, and take advantage of it instead of backing up and say, please go first. So let's go back to Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 16. Lamentations 4 and verse 16. You know, Jeremiah wrote this book of Lamentations. And as we read this, it's telling us how God sent the nation to destroy Israel and Judah. He chose who would come against and attack these individuals. And so this is a lament, a song, talking about how evil Babylon was in going against Israel and how they were terrifying the people. And the news of that got out. So much so, and that's what the Babylonians wanted, like we can torture and cause problems. And so they wanted that to get out. So when they came to the next city, they just opened their gates and say, come on in, tell us what to do, because we saw how evil you were to that last city. And so that's what was happening here. But let's just read a verse and talking about some of the things that Judah went through here. Verse 16 here in Lamentations 4, it says, "The face of the Lord scattered them." So it was God's doing, because of the evil they had done and disrespecting his laws. And then it goes on, he no longer regards them. And let's notice two things here. The people do not respect the priests. So here's God's servants that he selected to guide the people in his laws, how to live life. They didn't do that. And the last part, nor show favor to the elders. Now, the word in there, elders, might make you think of a minister or something. But really, when you look up the Hebrew word, the word their elders is just referring to someone old, those that are up in age or advanced in years. So they didn't have that respect. They lost that. And we see that in our nation today. It kind of tells you the direction we go before a nation falls, that you lose that quality. And so this was the culture of Judah at that time. No respect for the older generation, not helping them out, not looking after them, not honoring them. And so a nation tends to break down when that happens. And our culture today continues to grow worse, and we see that proclivity as we look around. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 and look at an incident here that shows disrespect for the elderly. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. So we're given an example of children that didn't show honor to the elderly. And here, Elisha had just taken office after Elijah. And we'll just pick up in the story here, verse 23 here in 2 Kings 2. It says, Then Elisha went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." So you think back in that time of an age, you wouldn't think that happened, because respect usually was greater. But we can see this has happened, you know, every generation throughout time, that there's been disrespectful kids. Verse 24 says, So he turned around and looked at them. I'm sure he was like shocked, like this whole big group of kids was doing this. And so he looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. So an amazing example that God inspired to be written in here, just showing how he views disrespect of the elderly. Just even words. They didn't throw any stones at him. They didn't do any physical abuse. They were just through their thinking and their words, they showed that. And God allowed that. That was God that did that with the bears, not Elisha. So we have to think about these examples, that children should be taught to address elderly in a respectful way. And once again, as those children grow up, then that helps them with respect toward their mates, towards their siblings, towards their neighbors, etc. And so that foundational part is so important. I'll refer to Leviticus 19 and verse 32. It says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man." So God's commandment to us as individuals on this earth, whether in the church or not, is to show this respect. And as we lose that, things begin to fall apart. It's a part of how society should work. So about a year and a half ago, my wife and I were at the pool talking to an elderly lady, and a group of teens came in to the pool area. I think they'd just gotten out of school at that time. There was no COVID yet. And they were noisy and obnoxious, and they threw some chairs in the pool, then they were sitting in it, and they turned up their music. And you know how in a pool area you're not supposed to run or dive or jump? They were doing all of that. Well, anyway, the lady just asked them to keep it down a little bit. And you should have seen the sneers and the looks at her. And then I heard some cursing kind of under their breath, but it was loud enough to hear. And then pretty soon they even started just almost mocking her by what they did. You know, instead of not just diving in the pool, they had some kids stand at the edge of the pool, and then they would run and try to jump over their head, which they weren't able to do, so they were hitting the person. They were all falling in. It was just a mess, and it was all because the lady said, "Could you keep it down a little bit?" They just started acting like these youths here that it mentions. And so there's more of that that goes on than we realize. And yet when we respect the elderly, guess what? We're showing respect to God because he created them. Those are his potential children. And so we have to think about that. And there's many areas that we could delve into. So let's look at another area. Point number four, respect for governing authorities. We know the Bible emphasizes proper respect for those over us. So whether it's the president, the vice president, a mayor, a governor, a senator, you know, any position, God is saying show some respect for it. And we live in a culture which disrespects authority in a rampant way. I mean, it's just growing. It seems like when you think about some of the things we've seen on television over the last few months and just the protests and the way people treat the policemen, it's just sad. And I'm not saying every policeman is perfect. I'm saying there still should be a level of respect and how we do that. And we are products of the age in which we live, so we have to be careful as Christians not to follow that trend. God is asking us to be very careful. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1. And we see where Paul addresses this subject. And we know that our country provides for peaceful protests. I mean, that's a blessing. If you really stand against something, you can go peacefully protest it. But we have to do it in a right way and not by burning stores or burning tires or throwing bricks, whatever people have done. We have to be very careful. Here's what God's instruction is. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. See, that really comes back to the basis of our respect. God says, I appointed these positions, I allow them, and you're to respect it. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So we've learned that over the years, and we have to consider that as we look at these leaders. It doesn't mean, once again, they're perfect. You know, police officers, presidents, they make mistakes. There still should be a level of respect for that position, and God is the one who has defined that. Reading a few more verses here. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, in other words, God's servant, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So we need to understand this principle because it is from God, and even though we don't see a lot of it in society today, as Christians, God is saying, don't get worked up in your emotions and follow what those in the society are doing. No, follow what God recommends here. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. And verse 7, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, beautifully illustrated here is Paul writes, not only back then, but for us today to really stop and think about, are we respecting those in leadership? That we have to consider that our Father is teaching us, his children, how to esteem, how to respect, how to have a high opinion of those around us, especially when they're doing a good job. And so we need to hold people in high regard. Because think about the relationship between the Father and Son and the respect that they have for one another. And God is asking us to prepare for that because he's asking us to join his family, and we're simply getting prepared for that. Turn with me next to Matthew 18. As we look at another way in which to have, respect here. Well, actually, let's go back to 1 Peter 2. Actually, I skipped over 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. And here Peter also reminds us of our duty to follow the laws of man. So not just Paul wrote about it. God wanted to really get it across to us. And so here in 1 Peter 2, let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And then he says, for this is the will of God. So we have to consider this admonition. This is the will of God that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Once again, God is teaching us the importance of having this high regard for those around us, which really is showing that respect to God because he's the one that set up and created these rules for us. So, brethren, think about the different examples in the Bible, whether it be Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were under various forms of government, and they respected those forms of government. It's only when that government told them to bow down to this or not to pray, to go when they went against God's laws, then we don't follow it. But otherwise, we're to respect them when it's in line with what God tells us here. So we need to consider that. And God is teaching us to respect in many areas. As we've talked a little bit, respect for him, respect for his laws, respect for our mates and our parents, respect for the elderly, and even respect for the governing authorities. So let's look at a few other areas to think about. Point number 5, respect for our brethren. Respect for our brethren. How well do we respect the people around us? Think about, we're all members of the household of God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let's notice what Paul encourages all of us to do. Philippians 2 verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Do we do that? Respect is all about showing love. Once again, that's why God offered his Ten Commandments. They're about loving God and loving our fellow man. And our Father is teaching his children how to esteem, how to hold people in high regard. So we have to really think about that. Let's look at an example of how we, as brothers and sisters of Christ, how we can show more respect for one another. Please turn with me now to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. We'll look at just one example. I know that You can think of many other ways that we show respect, but here's just one, a guidance given by God of what we should do. These are the words of Christ here in Matthew 18. And let's just notice sometimes, because we can fall short in this. I think we've all done this at times, but we'll read a few verses here starting in Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," so we've had that happen, haven't we? Somebody wronged us, somebody offended us, said some harsh words. We don't even know what they were talking about, maybe. Whatever it is, "if they sin against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So this is an area that we've really fallen short. Over the years, I've seen, throughout the past 40 years, I've seen as adults, we don't always go to our brother. It's easier to go over and talk to our friend and tell him about how bad this person did over here and to share that, gossip and spread it. But God is saying, go to the person. See if you can work it out of respect. Continuing in verse 16, see, you might go to your brother. It doesn't always work out the way we would like. Verse 16, "But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." So God literally lays out steps for us to follow so that we can show that respect to one another. No, it doesn't mean we're perfect or they're perfect, but God is asking us to come together and with his spirit, with his help, with his love, to try to work out our differences. And he has these steps. Now, verse 17, "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." So there's a lot in there, and my point isn't to delve into all of this, but out of respect for the brethren, this is one area that God is asking us to improve in, to not just ignore that and say, oh, that'll over time, we'll just forget about that. Or maybe the other person doesn't even know they offended you. You know, years ago, I had a member come up to me and apologize for something he said. And I go, I remember you saying that, but you surely don't need to apologize. It didn't offend me, and I didn't take it the wrong way. And he goes, oh, good, because my wife asked me to come do it because she thought it might have offended you. And I go, no, it didn't. So, but he took the right step. He wasn't even sure, and his wife encouraged him, and so they had the right attitude. It's the other way around when we know we should go and we don't, that causes more problems, and those simmer for years and cause other things down the line. So let's look at another point. Point number six, respecting our physical body. Haven't we all broken this rule? You know, you think about times when we've eaten too much. You know, it might be a beautiful meal in front of us, Thanksgiving or some other joyous event with family, but we eat too much. And we're actually have a stomach ache because we overdid it. Or there's times when we maybe don't eat too much, but we eat the wrong food. And out of a respect for our body, the body that God says is his and he created, he wants us to think about that. Let's look at just one scripture on this, 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 19, I should say. 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll pick it up at verse 19. There's many ways that we've disrespected our bodies. At times, even maybe in our younger years, we can stay up late and miss sleep. You know, it's fun to go out and have a good time, but if you have work or school the next morning, then you lost a couple hours of sleep. So we can harm ourselves that way. Or not exercising. I'm guessing all of us have fallen short in that, especially over the years and decades, that we don't take care of our body and strengthen it and exercise it so it does well over time. So let's notice here a spiritual aspect of respecting our body. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own?" So God is saying that we belong to him. He owns us. He made us. He can do whatever he desires with us. And he's asking us to consider that how we act, it determines whether we have his Holy Spirit dwelling in us once he's called us, that we can do things to literally push him away by disrespect of our body. You know, if we don't, you know, we talked a little bit about physical exercise and physical food, but if we don't eat the spiritual food and we don't spiritually exercise our minds, then we're really not preparing our body so it can receive God's Spirit. So there's a physical and a spiritual level here that we really need to think about. Because once again, our bodies belong to God. Even our mind. You know, our mind is a part of our body, but we don't always stop to think about what we put into our mind out of respect. God says, bring every thought into captivity. Haven't we allowed thoughts to come in that we worry about or that we dwell on that are not good, like revenge or, you know, all those things, vanity, all those thoughts that can come in? And so God is asking us to be very careful with what we think, because when we don't, we're disrespecting God. We can disrespect our mate and our children or those around us, those we work with, by what we put into our minds and therefore what comes out of our mouth. And so we must be careful with that. Even the improper entertainment, wrong music, all these things that God says, your body that I have given you to be a caretaker of, I want you to show respect for it and treat it properly. And I know we can all improve in that. Let's look at a seventh point, respect for God's creation. You know, when we look at the world in which we live, if you've traveled and gone to different places, isn't it beautiful what God has created on this earth? The waterfalls, the mountains, the valleys, the forests, the animals, and you think about all that's out there, the seas and the rivers, and how it all works together. And it's beautiful. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, I'll just refer to that. It says, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and then it says, to tend and to keep it. See, that was man's job, to take care of the earth. And you see the beauty of it when you go to various places and you look out, you know, whether it's more of a desert scene or more of a forest scene. It's absolutely gorgeous. But God says we're to take care of it. And look today, though, how poorly man has done. We can say, how are we doing? You know, how do we keep our property? How do we, you know, are we one of the individuals that throw the trash out on the road? You know, last week I gave this sermon over in Tampa, and I mentioned how the trash you see, you know, the empty beer can and the Coke can and the bag from McDonald's or wherever, all these places, the trash that people just throw out as they drive. And I even mentioned a mattress. And wouldn't you know it, as I was driving home from church last week, after the sermon, Belinda goes, there's a mattress. People just throw everything, appliances. I mean, we just trash our society. And so God is asking us to really have respect for what he created. You think about the poor example of all the things that are out there, even graffiti on the buildings. It's not showing respect for God's creation, for what he has done. And we've polluted our lakes. I was watching on the news, and they had a picture in India somewhere, and they said there's a river there, and you could not even see any water. It was floating with solid trash. And there was a bridge over it, and somebody was walking over it, and that's all you could see. It looked like a trash heap, but it was their river. And so when you think about different areas around the world and how poorly we've kept things that God has given us and told us to tend and keep it, we haven't done a very good job. And so you and I, we can't change all that, but we can take care of our own property. We can really stop and think about how we're treating the environment. And so let's look at one last point here in a couple minutes. Point number 8, respect for property of others. Respect for the property of others. You know, a common trend today is, well, I'll take care of my car, my house, but if it's someone else's, well, that's not as important, is it? And it's a selfish aspect, and a lot of people don't show concern for others' property. And if you've ever had any rental properties or even lived in a rental property and you saw kind of what the tenants before had done, and I saw tenants that just could trash a house in a short amount of time, you wouldn't even think it could get that bad. But carpets that were beautiful and new, within a year's time, looked like they'd been there 20 years with stains. Everything from oil stains, food stains, wine stains. It was like very little respect. Now, if it was theirs, I would hope they'd take better care of it, but I don't know. So God is asking us to really think about that. I'll refer to Luke chapter 16. Well, let's turn there. Luke 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16. And here Christ is talking about some parables, but I just want to pick out this one verse in Luke 16, verse 12. And he says, Jesus says, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? In other words, whether it's their property, their car, whatever. God says we have to be faithful in that and take care of that. Otherwise, he's not going to give us the kingdom, in a sense. He's not going to give us blessings because we're not showing respect for those other individuals. And so it's important for us to think about that. Once again, it goes back to children. You know, depending on how we were raised, depending on how we raised our children, so much of that has to be taught in an early age to show that honor and that respect to God. So, brethren, just in conclusion, think about how God is worthy of honor. He's worthy of admiration, of high opinion. He's worthy of that respect that we must give to him. And as parents, you have an awesome responsibility of teaching your children through your example and words. But it applies to each one of us here. Even if we don't have children in our home at this time, we are God's children. And he's teaching us respect. I mean, our Heavenly Father, just like we as parents taught ours, he's teaching each one of us how to walk by the way and read this and do that. He's teaching us how to respect so we can join a kingdom that's going to be so different than everything on this earth. It's going to be absolutely awesome of what he will provide, and he's actually training us to be able to enter that kingdom and to be ready for it so that he's still not, I mean, we can go on learning for the rest of time, but we have to get to a certain level to show that desire that we want to be there. And so as we have the opportunity to learn from Jesus Christ, his example and his words, just as our kids learn from our example and our words, that's what God is asking us to do. And so let's remember, the greater our admiration for God's commandments, the greater our respect for both our Father and Jesus Christ, that we need to improve in that. And also that kind of boils over into other areas, like the greater we respect them, then we have more respect for our mates and for our children and for our property and for the governing authorities and for God's laws. And it goes on and on. God is asking us to think about that. I'll just refer to Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." See, it all belongs to God. That's what it comes back to, as the Almighty One, the Everlasting One, the Father and Son together, they own everything, and we've been gifted with the opportunity to live on this planet, to have a home, to have a car, to have a church, to have brethren, and all these relationships, God is asking us to improve in them. Everything belongs to them, and they want to give us an amazing inheritance. And part of that stems with how well we do in respecting them and respecting one another, which comes back to the Ten Commandments. It's about showing love. Really, respect is a way to show honor to those around us and to our Heavenly Father. And so how we treat our mate, how we take care of our environment, is a reflection of how much respect we have. So we should think about that. Let's show greater respect to them so that we are prepared for their coming kingdom. And just think, one day in the future, everyone will have the opportunity to, in a sense, bow their heads and to bend their knees in worshiping God. But we have that opportunity now to know that. And we can grow in this quality that God wants us to have. So let's continue to improve in showing respect to God and to one another.